So we happen to be in week two of Jesus' mood. Last week we had the pretty harsh teaching and parable about leaving behind some of the most important relationships in one's life. And then now he is saying something that should in fact cause us a certain amount of shuddering. Is that when we're in the bottom, we're always happy to hear the whole first will be last and the last will be first. But like when we hear sometimes the parable of all the people who got paid the same daily wage, even though they showed up 1 hour before closing time, if we've done the full day's wage, our first thought is just, what a jerk. And any time in which we come in contact with God, and sometimes we don't feel as if he is being unfair, it's probably because we're either not listening or we're on the beneficiary side for a while, but it always is the case, is that Jesus checks us all. He checks us all. There is no point in which we are safe. There is no point in which we are so in that we can sit next to Jesus ready to wave our finger at all the people who do bad things because we're going to be right and they're going to be wrong. That is the great joy and the singular terror of being a Christian, is that we always must be under a divine renovation. We must always be ready for transformation, renewal, and reform. And we must not be so preoccupied with what reform other people have to be doing. That's generally a sign of immaturity. We have to be focused on our own. And we must be very, very cautious. And we must be very, very patient. And we must be very wise. And sometimes wisdom comes through experience. And sometimes wisdom comes through suffering. And most importantly, wisdom comes through that lovely thing that the writer of the letter to the Hebrews indicates is discipline. And discipline is a very, very important thing. And it's something that we heard all about if we've been watching the Olympics for these past 2 weeks. I haven't really been, but it's kind of in the news and it gives me an interesting platform upon which to speak. But the Olympics, you can't get to the Olympics without discipline. Like even the guys who are the most like, yeah, whatever, they're still incredibly disciplined. Hours and hours and hours of work focused into sometimes a 10-second race, which is crazy to me. Like, I can't even imagine people training their entire lives and then having the difference of glory being this and this. You know, greatest man in the universe? Never heard of him. And when you go through a lot of discipline and when you go through a lot of teaching, like, that's the pain, that's the difficulty of it. And I'll tell you right now, this guy was never going to get to the Olympics. By that, this guy, never ever going to be in the Olympics. No matter how much I would have trained, I would have still been that awkward, slightly flimsy runner. I was pretty fast in school, but nowhere near what was necessary. Like, I could barely be the fastest kid in my grade 9 gym class. So for some people, the feeling of being locked out is very painful because nobody rewards that particular thing that you like to do. I still remember when people would say, let's have a talent contest. David, what are you going to do? And I'd say, all the things that I can do, nobody cares about. It's like, what am I going to do? Tell you the history of Aristotelian philosophy? No one cares. Only people want to watch certain sports. Only people want to engage in certain things. And so those certain things that make people important or special or beautiful become completely useless. And so then that feeling of being disregarded, unloved, uncared for is one of the most difficult things to overcome. And one of the ways in which our world overcomes this feeling of inadequacy is through bombast. We force other people to care in what we care about. You have to care about my values. And it's like, no, I don't. And nobody else does. And I'm tired of pretending as if I care about certain sports or things. I don't. But it doesn't make that person unimportant. And this is why when Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate, He is teaching us, although something profoundly basic and profoundly human, but also something that goes to the very heart of what it means to attain and to receive salvation. The narrow gate is himself. I am the sheep gate, he says in a completely different gospel and in an unrelated situation. So this is not like an actual connection. I'm putting them together. He is the gate that the sheep go through. And anyone who tries to find a different way, a different path, will in a sense be blocked out. And it's not because he's bitter or resentful. It's precisely because in the same way, if one cheats in the training, you never truly get the glory. You can have a one-off victory and win your grade 9 track meet. You are not getting to the upper echelons unless you're willing to put in the work. And the work in Christian life is daily prayer, regular participation in the sacraments, also the really frustrating and hard task of loving people, forgiving them, tolerating their weird behavior, and learning to find the goodness in people we consider to be despicable. This is the discipline of Christian life, and it penetrates far deeper than just learning how to fast or going through different regimens. And I think it would be wrong of us to say that people today are not disciplined. They are. I have a lot of respect for vegans. Like, to be able to coordinate a diet in which one does not have anything that comes from an animal is definitely laudable. Crazy in my mind, but laudable. But will that help you attain salvation? No. Then why does Christ give us this particular avenue? Why does he give us this particular glory? It's because he opens up the horizon not just to human perfection in the sense of the things we know. He opens up the horizon of God's perfection of us. He is not a human being giving us teachings and a training regimen. He is the God-man transforming our humanity from within. There's a reason why, among all the creatures on this earth, human beings are the most uncomfortable. Our cats are remarkably happy, as long as they have sunlight, carpet, food, and human slaves, cats are very happy. Dogs require sometimes less, but definitely much more intimacy, but then they're generally happy. Even the smartest, like dolphins and everything, they're generally happy and contented in this world. But human beings are miserably uncomfortable. We're miserably uncomfortable. We are some of the only animals on the planet that when we sit still, have you ever just tried it? Sitting still and not doing anything for 5 minutes? Videotape yourself on your cell phone, sitting down for 5 minutes straight, and you will see the most fidgety person in the world. Even if you're an expert in Zen meditation, you still begin to see that the more we are at rest, the less we are at peace. That is what he comes to heal. Because nothing in this world can satisfy you. And only one can. And that is why his gate is narrow. We can't find substitutes. We can't find anything else that can launch us to the horizons that he has intended, because no other tool is effective. That's why Jesus comes millennia after human civilization has developed. He wants us to know that every culture around the world has the same problem. And he is its one answer. But just because his gate is narrow, do not suppose that he can't let you branch out. trees have a very particular and peculiar phenomenon, which is at the underneath the surface, they are very multifaceted and branch off. And then on top, they quite literally branch off. But at the very basic of them, the very central part of them, is a firm, solid, unitary foundation. And from that allows for the infinite diversity of what the human spirit can accomplish. I am not meant to be an Olympian. I don't want to be an Olympian, and I'm not meant to be an Olympian. Sometimes I want to be a certain type of priest, and I realize that ain't happening. I am not that cute, cuddly guy. Sometimes I've tried, and I have failed abundantly. The only person that I can be is me, with the grace of God. And this is what makes being a Christian truly transformative, if we listen to what Christ is saying and not what we want him to say. He wants you and you and you as yourselves. Because the precise point is this. He knows you. He knows your heart. He knows your name. From before the world was made, he knew you. And he formed you with your parents' help, not just in the womb, but in life itself. Even those difficulties and pains that you would never wish on your enemy that you have experienced in your life can become the thing that makes you live a full and glorious life. Difficulties, disadvantages, persecutions, all of these things can be transformed with his grace. And that is why I think the biggest heresy in the modern church is our attitude. When we walk around sullen and whiny and critical and complaining constantly, I don't need a theology degree to say that something's wrong with our faith. I could critique a person's understanding of all of the theological principles of the ancient church and blah. I could do it for hours and hours, and again, as I said, none of you would care. But when they see a Christian constantly bickering, the credibility of the gospel is shot. But when they see you teary-eyed, sorrowful, broken, rejected, and in pain, and still be able to kiss the feet and the hands of your blessed Savior, then people notice that something is different. And what I find so incredibly consoling is the one discipline that so few of us want to embrace, that of overcoming trials, overcoming difficulties, overcoming failure. You notice how he's gone before us. That's supposed to be an image that's meant to terrify us. Usually in our day-to-day life, we don't want to imagine failures. Usually in our day-to-day life, we don't want to imagine death. Usually in our day-to-day life, sane and healthy people don't imagine the difficulties that they will face. They always picture their glory. Because somehow the feeling of loss will take away their mojo. There's my vocabulary problems right there. And yet this is what we advertise. We complement this with that. But that is the narrow door. We carry our cross each and every day. But at the end of your life, you will find that that is the door that opens you to life. And unlike the brutal coach, unlike sometimes the, let's just say, overemphasizing priests on discipline, unlike all those people that just force us into hard work and say, just do it. Why? Because suffering makes you strong. We are able to be encouraged with one thing. Our gold medal is assured. I'm not playing on somebody else's playing field. I'm not fighting somebody else's battle. I'm fighting that precise battle that God gave me from the beginning of my life, from the beginning of my conception, from the very beginning of the universe. And with his help, I'm guaranteed the gold.